All right, well, what a fitting song to fit with our psalm for tonight, which would have been the songbook of the Jewish Hebrews, and we're going to look at Psalm 66. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Psalm 66 tonight, and the question we have before us is, what is genuine worship of an awesome God? What does that look like? What does praise Him? What does that sound like? What does it look like? What does that feel like? Genuine worship. I want to give you a definition or of worship from A.W. Tozer that I really liked. And he asks the question, what is worship? And he says, worship is to feel in your heart and express in some appropriate manner a humbling but delightful sense of admiring awe, an astonished wonder, and an overpowering love in the presence of the most ancient mystery, that majesty which philosophers call the first cause, but which we call our Father, which art in heaven. It's interesting. That's a great definition, how it's an expression as we meditate upon God, and it's an expression of awe and adoration that flows outward from there. And sometimes it's even just an internal heartbeat that is there for Him to give Him the adoration. But notice it doesn't even involve singing always. It can. It sometimes does, but Tozer's definition doesn't describe that or demand that. But it seems to be that is often a natural fruit or manifestation of worship, because genuine worship of the heart flows out to a joy, and out of the heart, once the heart, the mouth speaks, and we might even say would sing. There's going to be an expression of that heart emotion that's there. And so if that be the case, then it seems that going to the songbook of the Hebrews would be a great place to be, which we are in our study going through the Psalms. And so Psalm 66 gives us some amazing insight to what worship of an awesome God is all about. We're going to be making this interactive as we go tonight. So we're going to give you some chances where you can share some testimonies of the awesomeness of God as you've reflected upon Him, things that make you just adore and are in awe of God, maybe His attributes, maybe His awesome works that He has done that you want to express and just to share, to give glory to God with your mouth, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we're also going to allow selection of songs, and we're going to do some off the floor. You get to choose some songs, and so just enjoy some of that tonight. Author Lewis Albert Banks tells the story of an elderly Christian man. He's a fine singer, had sung most of his life, and had been involved in different things, who learned he had cancer of the tongue. And had surgery scheduled. On the day of the surgery, he came in and was all prepped and was on the operating table, in which he asked one more question of his surgeon. He said, are you sure that I'll never sing again? The surgeon had a hard time even answering the question. He didn't even say it verbally. He just shook his head. No, you won't. And to that, this man asked, he said, I've had many good times singing the praises of God. Now you tell me I'll never sing again. Can I pause and sing one final song to my God? And he paused, and the man said, sure. And there in the operating room, in just a quiet time, he sang softly the words of Isaac Watts' hymn, which is this one. I actually looked for it in our hymn book, and I could not find it. I'll praise my Maker while I've breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall ne'er be past, while life and thought and being last, or immortality endures. That man had just heard that he was never going to sing again, and his response was, I want to worship my God with singing. I want to exclaim His goodness. Even in the darkest times, he thanked God. Well, I want to introduce this psalm, and we're going to just read the first few verses to start us out. But before I do, I want to give you a pop quiz. I know you're thinking that I'm not allowed to do that, but it turns out that I am, and I'm going to. And so there it is. So let me read the first four verses and just follow along, and gear your heart towards this pop quiz. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are Your works. Through the greatness of Your power, Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. All the earth shall worship You and sing praises to You. They shall sing praises to Your name. Now here's the question. And I'm going to let you grade yourself, your own quizzes. But here's the question. What grade would you give yourself in carrying out the words of those first four verses over or in your heart of worship in your heart this past week? Would you say, as you look at verses 1 through 4, it's a pretty simple quiz, what grade would you give yourself in your heart of worship from this past week? Would it be, you know, I'm kind of running middle of the road and maybe a C, and there was times I thought of God and times that I didn't give Him much thought and it didn't express, or maybe it was, man, this week, just as I looked around, as I walked through my days, Lord just drew me into awe and adoration of Him, and so it was a higher, a B or an A. Or would you say, man, I had a hard time this week. I didn't focus on the worship of God. You know, one of the things I'll venture to say is likely true. The more that you did this week, meditate on God and worship and adore Him, the higher your joy and less anxiety that you would have certainly have had. Because it is impossible to consider and ponder the awesomeness, the attributes of His love and His care as our Heavenly Father, and to still think I have to carry the weight of all of this burdens of my life on myself. And so where would you grade yourself in this? How well have you done to make His praise glorious? I'd like to say that mine was always an A or a B, but that's not always, and so I like to grow at that myself. Now, regarding this psalm, just a couple thoughts here as we start into the inscription above it just tells us this is to the chief musician, a psalm, but we're not told who the author is nor the occasion of it. Many people think that it's David, which would be fitting. It kind of fits with similar sentiments or similar psalms that have a kind of a David-esque flavor to them. And it talks even about the house of God, which could be the tabernacle. However, others think that this could be that it's King Hezekiah that wrote this psalm after God delivered Israel from Sennacherib of Assyria. And there's things that fit very well. Some of the events of the psalm could definitely lend towards that as God took them through trials, verses 10 through 12. God preserved their lives and kept their feet, verse 9. And God brought them into a wealthy place, verse 12 again. And so all that is only speculation, but it does seem to fit with the occasion there. But this psalm really breaks into three segments. And the first is in verses 1 through 4, which is the petition for praise. And then in verses 5 through 12, the perspective of praise. And then lastly, the personal nature of praise. And so what I want to do is, after point 1 and after point 2, we'll take those pauses together to express some of it together, to share some of the awesomeness of God and to share some testimonies. And then Mike is going to do his best to lead whatever song. We'll do two each time that you choose. Now, as we've said before, when we do these things, that if you pick an obscure, unknown song that he does not know, that means you have to come up and help him lead that song. So the threat there is, or the risk there is upon yourself, upon what you want to choose there. Well, let's look first of all at the petition of praise in verses 1 through 4. And I want us to notice some different aspects to this petition. He says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing into the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. And the first thing that we notice is it's a call to make it powerful. This is to be all that we have. Make a joyful shout. This verse is identical to the beginning of Psalm 100, which is great, is known as the Great 100, a psalm of praise, except for the substitution of Yahweh or Jehovah for God that is placed here. the theme is the same, exuberant praise. Now, when you think of exuberant praise, think about what comes to your mind. I think of just an overwhelmed excitement that you just, you're on your feet and you're excited to exclaim it. I think sometimes a great perspective is even sometimes watching a sports game, right? And we think about just, I don't care if people think about me. I'm wrapped up in emotion about something. And I was at a Penn State game, football game this last fall. And it was a packed house. I forget who they were playing at the time. But it amazed me down in the student section. And there it is. It's a cold night. You've got students with their shirts off, painted, and they're standing the entire game, paying $4 for a bottle of water, and yelling the entire game and having a blast with it, right? I mean, they're enjoying their evening. Well, in a way, as it talks about, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. There's exuberant, like, man, I just want to cheer for the glory of God. I just want to make his name known. And there's this exuberance that comes out of that. So our worship is to be powerful, forceful, not just as the opposite of that would be apathetic. There's an apathy to worship that is heartless, maybe even mouthing of words while you look out the window and ponder something else. Or just going through the motions, but never in your day thinking about and expressing to God. And so there ought to be an exuberant praise. It's a praise that's so enraptured by God that we care not about anything else. What I love about this as well, as you read through this psalm and through many of the psalms, is when they're talking about praise to God and singing, is it doesn't qualify that this is only for those who are good singers. Aren't you glad, some of you, that that's not the qualification for it? That it doesn't say only if you have an excellent voice you get to sing praise to God. No, isn't it God who created your voice? Doesn't he know exactly what skills and abilities you have? And yet he longs to hear you use that in praise. I heard a story one time about there was this church and they had a choir, and there was this man in the choir, Mr. Jones, who really was tone deaf and not a good singer. And it was bothering the other choir members. And so one of the choir members eventually came to the pastor and said, "Listen, you need to go to Mr. Jones and tell him that if he doesn't quit and leave the choir, we're quitting. I'm quitting and many other choir members are quitting." The pastor was in a dilemma, didn't know what to do, but he thought, "I'll go talk to Mr. Jones." And so he went and talked to Mr. Jones and said, "Listen, I'm going to ask that you would step down and leave the choir." To which Mr. Jones said, "Why should I leave?" He said, "Well, several people have told me that you can't sing." To which Mr. Jones said, "Well, that's nothing. 50 people told me that you can't preach, but you're still here." So, thankfully, there is in singing, in worship and praise, not that qualification. God says, make his praise glorious. Shout to the Lord. Sing into the honor of his name. Say to God, all these different ways that we our heartfelt worship is offered, with shouting, singing, saying. You get into Psalm 150 and all kinds of musical instruments and the clapping of hands, the banging of cymbals. All of that is involved in worship of our God if it's joyous. And so then, it is not only to be powerful, but it is to be purposeful. It's all for him. It's all that we have, or all that we are, but it's all for him. And that's important. We can get emotionally wrapped up in a song. We can get emotionally tied to something, but yet it be not really even about God. Or not really all about him. It's more that we like this tune, or more that we like what we're this time together. And notice it keeps mentioning the object, the direction, the focus. 5 times directly in the psalm, it emphasizes this being unto God. Make a joyful shout to God and say to God. 5 times it's going to direct and say, this worship isn't just about worship of things, it's worship of God. Worship is only worship if it's truly focused on who we're worshiping. Spurgeon said in his Treasury of David commentary, he said, devotion, unless it be resolutely directed to the Lord, is no better than whistling to the wind. Worship is about Him, and I think all too more often than we'd like to admit that much of it is whistling to the wind. We haven't even really given thought to God. We're just going through the motions of it. And unfortunately, in a consumer-oriented world, we sometimes think church services are just for us. But we aren't spectators in worship attending a show. We are participants, eager and excited participants, because of, even as we just participated together this evening in the communion elements, that we have a God who loves us enough that not only did He create us and fashion us, but He sent His only Son to die for us so that we could be reconciled and enjoy forever the eternal bliss of presence with Him rather than eternal hell. Does He not deserve our praise? Did He not create everything that we see and that we get to enjoy? I was talking with someone this past week who, in one of their experiences with COVID, they had lost their taste and they had just gotten it back, and they said, man, it just was so wonderful to finally taste something again. And I said, I was thinking about that. And isn't it amazing and good of God to give us the delight of taste buds? To make food not just some blah, 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 bland stuff. I know some people might think sometimes what they're eating is that, but God allows us to delight in that. In a place that we can enjoy, sitting around a table with other people, enjoying over a meal as we enjoy good things. God is so good to us. He could make a sea in only one dimension of colors. But yet He makes the rainbow of all the different dimensions and colors of beauty for our enjoyment. And it speaks of His praise. God could do so much God could do so much less for us than He has. God has been so good. When we stop and ponder that and think about His goodness, it becomes overwhelming. God, that You allow me to go for walks and go for a run, to be able to converse and talk with people and enjoy communication and fellowship and relationships and all of these things that God has created us and allows us to enjoy. It just tells us He's good. And so the worship needs to be about, as I ponder that, what He has done, who He is, His attributes, and the honor of His name. As we see it in verse 2 and in verse 3, how awesome are Your works, He says. In verse 2, sing the honor of His name. How awesome are Your works. Verse 3, the greatness of Your power. Your enemies shall submit themselves to You. And so it's all about Him. And then last, the third thing there is, it is public, it is to be all the earth. Verse 1 says, all ye lands. Verse 4 states, all the earth. That means that no one is exempted from recognizing His glory. And therefore, no one is exempted from the urgency or the importance of exuberant, powerful worship. And exactly what the Bible even says, someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Revelation 5, there will be the singing of all those in heaven, in the heavens and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne of the Lamb forever and ever. There will be a point when everything exalts His name. And the psalm says, let's lead that choir. Let's lead that chorus as we shout and sing to Him. So there's our first breakpoint. As we think about some of the awesomeness of God, as it talks about, say to God, how awesome are Your works. And then we will sing it, as it says. Actually, we're going to put them out of order. We're going to sing it after we say to God, how awesome are Your works. So let's start with a couple testimonies, and then Mike will come up and take two requests. So who has a testimony? Michelle.
Then there's a lady on our end, there's a girl who works with her, and she was saying, oh, I have to skip dinner tonight, or I have to skip lunch because I don't have enough food. Well, I had a couple bags of her sitting there, going to go somewhere. So I just walked down to her house and said, could you take this to her? And it just made me feel really different, like God was putting it on me to help out the neighbors. Mm.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Just a testimony as you meditate on God, of His awesomeness. Jan.
Really like praising the Lord, which is always out in the woods and out in His creation. And when I see all the beautiful, colorful creatures and things that He made for my enjoyment and to photograph, and I just think, wow, how beautiful this earth is, and it's cursed by sin.
Mm. Amen. Yeah, think if it's this beautiful when it's decaying and falling apart, how much more the new heavens and new earth. Lamar.
This week it's been fantastic thinking about to live as Christ and to die as David. And I've been thinking about dying for the last 35 to 45, 50 years. And I've been thinking about dying to self, of course. And now I find it very easy to die to self when I think of His awesome goodness, His glory, His power, His everything that He is in His Word, the living Word. And to think how great He is, I'm just marveled day in and day out when I think, wow, what an awesome God we serve.
Yeah, amen. What an awesome God. Anybody else? Testimony. Yeah, Jesse.
This weekend, Laura and I were going down to Maryland to see a graduation at the school that we taught at, and we drove through a pretty bad storm. And to think that the God who created that storm also has the power to stop that storm with just a word. Mm. And He could do that. And afterwards, there was the most beautiful rainbow, to think that there's that promise that He will never flood the world again. Mm. So
yeah.
Just all of that wrapped into just a storm.
Yeah, thinking of His power to speak it and this power to control it from never being a flood again. One more, and then we'll take a couple songs. Oh, I'm sorry, John, I didn't see you. Go ahead, John Chewy. John, you have one? Isn't it wonderful that God gave us His Word, that we can preach and study it? You know, God didn't have to reveal Himself to us. He didn't have to give us a whole book of describing how His interactions with people and how He created this all and His eternal plan. But God chose to reveal it so we could know Him. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to study that together. Well, let's sing a couple songs. And so, Mike, I'll let you do your best.
so good, you know?
I don't.
It might not be in here. We'll just sing it a cappella. How's that sound? All right. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Amen.
Yep. 361. The Lily of the Valley. Let's stand and sing this one together. We'll do verses 1 and 3.
Keep looking at Psalm 66. We may not get it all covered tonight, so don't fret. Let's jump into the next point, which is the perspective of praise, verses 5 through 12. And it continues with this adoration and pondering and meditation on God. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Now, let's look at this portion here. And I want you to notice, first of all, the recollection of the past in verses 5 through 7. As he's mentioning, as he looks back, come and see and what God has done and who he is. And there is this thinking through of God's works. And I think that's good for us to stop and to ponder, what has God done? How have I seen God work? What elements or what things has he done in my life? And what has he done? And he says here, come and see. The idea is to contemplate the awesomeness of God. Come and see the works. And then he illustrates it with two amazing events that throughout the Old Testament were extolled as showing God's mighty power in redeeming his people. The one is the opening of the Red Sea as they walk through on dry land. And the other is the cross of the Jordan. As God stopped the waters and it flooded back and they entered the entire people, crossed over into the promised land. And it speaks of those. And they went, he turned the sea into dry land and they went to the river on foot. Both of those speaking of those two different examples there. And so two amazing events that God did to redeem his people out of bondage and bring them into the promised land. And then it says, interestingly, in verse 6, there we will rejoice in him. Implying they're rejoicing still in these events. And I think we reflect back and look back at what God has done. In fact, it's interesting how that was done. And when they crossed through the Red Sea, there was a time where Moses gave a song and they sang and Miriam led with timbrels and dance and it was exuberant praise of exclamation. But when they went to the Jordan, coming to the promised land, Joshua instructed the people to go erect a statue so that people would remember this is what God has done. They would meditate on this act of God and it would cause them in their hearts to worship for years and years to come. And so there's this aspect of looking back over those things. And so what would be then, as you think about that being two times that God redeemed us, think about what would be the New Testament application for us today. It would be the fulfillment of God's redemption of his people through the cross of Jesus Christ. We're to take up the elements of the communion table with joy and remembrance of him, reflecting on what he has done for us. And so there's this recollection of the past that moves then to an exhortation to praise in verse 8. Oh, bless our God, you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our foot or our feet to be moved. There's this exhortation because of what God has done to exclaim that. The truth is, praise is the fruit of our lips that comes from a heart, again, being affected by our minds. What we observe, what we learn, what we reflect back on what God has done. And out of that will come out praise. And so when we consider our redemption, our deliverance as Christians, ought not it lead us then to that as we reflect back, as we have the perspective of what God has done. And interestingly enough, there's a third aspect to it in verses 9 through 12 that even speaks to praise because of what God had done in his sanctifying of his people. As God even, and it's pretty detailed, he tested us and refined us. You brought us in the net, you laid our affliction on our backs and have caused men to ride over our heads. I mean, it's pretty detailed of the chastening hand of God that God had done to his people. And again, that could be looking back over even before Hezekiah's time with his father Ahaz and their rebellion. And God had purposefully allowed them to be chastened and taken captives. And God was doing that with purpose for them. We see it in verse 9. He says there that with the purpose, he does not allow our feet to be moved, but in verse 12, that you brought us out to rich fulfillment. The purpose was to deliver them. God desired to bring them to a place of greater joy, a greater fulfillment with him. That word, rich fulfillment, is a word that's only found in one other place in Scripture. It's found in Psalm 23 and verse 12, or in verse 5, my cup runneth over. In other words, God, you allowed even chastening so that you'd bring us to a place where our cup runs over. You ever seen that in your life? When God even took you through a time of correction, a time of chastening, so that you could experience and walk with God in a new, glorious way? Because God is God's great love. And the Bible tells us that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He allows it for our good, that afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so there's this petition for praise, a perspective of praise. Let me just give you the last one. I was going to break here. Let me just give you quickly the last part that ties to it, and then we'll finish with some testimonies and two songs. The last part here in verses 13 to 20 is the personal nature of praise. It moves, interestingly enough, from it being corporate and a call for all people to be involved, but now it moves very interestingly to personal. For I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay to you my vows. Later in verse 15, I will offer you burnt sacrifices to fat animals. End of verse 15, I will offer this. And then verse 16, I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him. It turns all of a sudden to these personal pronouns 17 times in these following verses. I, me, or my. Derek Kidner in his commentary on Psalms has an interesting, a helpful comment here. He says, if this is a strange climax to have the nation's thanksgiving capped by a single worshipers, it is a strangeness not unlike the paradox of God's ways, which leave room for the few and the small, who matter to him as much as the many, and who find themselves not lose themselves in his great congregation. What he's saying there is, yes, there is the congregation, but that does not lose the importance of the individual worshiper. And it guides it back to this personal nature of praise. And there it involves there in this aspect of promises being fulfilled. I will repay to you the vows. There's this aspect of, God, you deserve this, and going to repay this back, and going to offer sacrifices, and then personal praise. In verses 16 to 20, he says, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. It's almost like this aspect of, hey, gather around and hear what God has done for me. I want to share my testimony with you. I want to tell you what God has done for me. And he wants to share that others might glorify God because of it. And he says and adds an interesting detail, an important detail, answered prayer in verse 18. Though if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. It's interesting how he goes from there. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He's attended the voice of my prayer. It's an important aspect that we recognize that true, genuine worship also needs to be a cleansing thing. It comes from a heart that's been cleansed, a heart that's been repentant and made things right. If we're going to give appropriate praise, the sacrifices of God are a contrite or a repentant heart, the psalmist says in Psalm 51. What he desires of us is that. And so there's this aspect that I've got to check my heart if I'm going to have appropriate praise. Norman Peale, who I don't always agree with, but in this instance he illustrated this truth well by a story from his life. As a boy, he had found a big black cigar. And so he slipped into a back alley and he lit up and began to smoke. He said he hated the taste of it, but he thought he was pretty big stuff. And so he was doing this, and his dad began to come down the alley, so he quickly hid it behind his back. And his dad came up and was talking to him, and he wanted to distract his dad from this. And so he pointed to a billboard that had a sign about a carnival coming in. He said, Dad, there's a carnival coming in next week or in 2 weeks. Can we go to that? Can you take me and we'll go? To which his dad taught him a lesson that he never forgot. He said, son, never make a petition while at the same time trying to hide a smoldering disobedience. You know, don't we sometimes do that with God? God, will you do this? God, I want to give you praise. But don't look back here, God. Don't examine back here. The psalmist says, I want to praise my God. I want to tell you about what he's done. And God heard me because I'd already cleansed my heart. There's importance of that repentance, importance of a clean heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so there's this, finishes with this psalm of with blessing or praise. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So, again, let's get just a couple of testimonies, and we'll finish with a song. So who has a testimony of God's goodness, of God has worked in your life, or just, again, thinking of his awesome works? Any other testimonies? Yes.
Was using the kids' bike. I
there was in the beginning, I didn't know, and that was a great time. So I'm reading that, you know, to my left, right, and it was, you know, God told me that's what. So I went to my doctor, and he said, this is strange, this is different. I said, I know. He said, well, what do you want to use to help you? I said, well, I don't want the gum, because that probably stinks. I said, I'll use the patches. And so I finished the carton of cigarettes I had, and I had purchased, when I purchased them, it came in 2 packs. And then I did that, and then there was another 2-pack. And I was so scared that night, I put that patch on when I went to bed. I was scared to death. What am I going to do in the morning? The first thing you do is get up. While I was running a place, get up and go outside and smoke your cigarette. I didn't have the urge to do that. I didn't think about it. I had used all the cigarettes that I had. And that was on my mom's birthday in April 28th, 1998, that I quit smoking. And several people at work, especially the boss, oh, such a good job, Cassie. I said, I couldn't have done that. I would have never done that. I said, God did it. Yeah, I knew. It was like, you know, it made me feel so good. Because I did God.
Oh, amen. That's exciting to see as we try to do that.
With a couple of our friends today, and both of them happen to be using wheelchairs at this time. And it just reminded us how good God is to us. I mean, to give us, we are walking, you know, we're talking, we can take care of ourselves, and how God has just blessed us that way.
Yeah, things that we can sometimes take for granted. The ability to walk down the street or walk to the mailbox. And God allows us with that. Amen. Doug.
Thank God for the difficult times. Because walking through the valley with them, walking through those hard things that we think we can't handle, gives me a perspective and a better understanding of what the mountaintop really is. Mm. And the blessings are much more enjoyed out the other side.
Yeah.
And in thinking and praying about it, knowing that in those difficulties, he's working on me to conform me into the image of his son. And praise his name for it.
Amen. Amen. Laura.
I'm just thankful for God's provision over the last week. Unless you guys know, there's a formula shortage going on right now, and we're having a really, really hard time finding it. Last week, my mom and I were just shopping around, and we went to Target. And of course, the shelf was completely empty. There wasn't any there that we needed. And right before we left the store, my mom was like, "I have this inkling that we should go back to the formula section." I was like, "Mom, there's nothing there. That we're not going to go back." And she insisted that we go back. And when we went back, there was a lady there who didn't even work for Target. She worked for an outsourcing company, and she had several packs of formula. And I showed her the formula I needed. She looked it up on her supply cabinet. And they had 8 canisters of it on the truck, and she went and got it for me, and that provides like a month of formula for us. And that was a really big need that we weren't sure where it was going to come from. So I'm just thankful for God's provision in his perfect timing.
Yeah. You know, he's always right on time, isn't he? God always provides right on time. One more. Ben.
I praise God that we have his word that we can read each and every day. So many times we take it for granted. I looked at the prayer letter from Mark and Megan Collins this week, and Mark talked at the end about so many churches, so many people that claim to be Christians or Bible believers no longer believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. And I warned my Sunday school class about that too. You know, you have to realize that every word that's there is God's word. It's holy. It's meant for us on a daily basis. And I think of that verse in Matthew 5:18 that talks about not changing one jot or one tittle. The jot is the smallest letter. I think it looks like a little apostrophe, and the tittle is even smaller than that. There's 2 letters that look like about the same, except one has a little hook on it, and there's that little piece on the end that makes the difference. but it's all going to become fruition. And we need to stand on God's word. I thank God for our pastor that preaches from God's word each and every Sunday.
Amen.
Well, let's sing. We'll take a couple last requests, and then we'll finish with that. So, Mike, if you'd come.
How great thou art. Let's stand together and sing the first verse of How Great Thou Art.
That you are our God, how great you are. Lord, we want to give you praise. May we go throughout this week and see all that you are and what you've done for us as we just see different aspects of life. And may our heart return praise and adoration to you. You are good, and we give you praise. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.